We're turning in our Bibles for the message to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. What think ye of Christ? Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived upon this earth for over 33 years, who was despised and rejected, who was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, who was crucified outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, who was buried and whose disciples said he rose again, who ascended to the right hand of God, where he reigneth as the great high priest and mediator, from whence the word declares that he will come again. What think ye of Christ? That was a question that our Lord asked the religionist of his day, the people who gathered for worship on the Sabbath day, those who were entrusted with the reading of the Scriptures and the teachings of the doctrines and the keeping of the ceremonies and rituals. He asked them, "What think ye of Christ?" Now, by examining my answer to this question, what think ye of Christ, I can determine the soundness of my profession. I can determine the security of my soul. I can determine my eternal destiny by examining my answer to this very simple question. What think ye of Christ? Well, the answer that I have prepared to give this morning is contained in my text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Christ is our life. That's the answer. Christ is our life. And I believe anything in our conduct, anything in our character, or anything in our creed, which we really believe, not which we profess now, but the creed which we believe in our hearts, anything in our conduct, our character, our creed that contradicts this great principle is eternally dangerous. What think ye of Christ? Christ is our life. Christ is what? He's our life. Our life. L-I-F-E. It's not merely said here that we live because of Him. We do. It does not say here that we live through Him. We do. It does not say here that we live by Him, though we do. But it says here, emphatically, He is our life. He is our life. As the branch finds its life in the vine, and apart from the vine, it has no life. Even so, apart from Christ, we're dead, spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and sin, dead to God, without any life, without God, without hope, without help, without life. As the body and the head, when the head is severed from the body, there's no life. Most other limbs you can sever and life can be retained, but not the head. Christ is our head. We are the body of Christ. James says, as the body without the soul is dead, so we without Christ have no life. He is our life. What think ye of Christ? Well, he was a great teacher. That's not enough. Well, he was a great preacher and healer. He has all power in heaven and earth. That's not enough. Well, he was crucified on a cross. The devil believes that and trembles. But he rose again. That's not enough. Christ is not our creed, He's our life. Christ is not only our hope, He's our life. Christ is not only our Savior, He's our life. Christ is our life. That's what it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now let me point out several things from this text. First of all, Jesus Christ is the life, the very life of our spiritual existence. Now, we exist physically. We have flesh and bones and blood and breath. But all men have that. All men have that. But Christ is the very life of our spiritual existence. As a result of Adam's transgression, this is what the Bible teaches. As a result of Adam's transgression, all men are dead in sin. God said to Adam, when you eat the forbidden fruit, you shall die. Adam died. Scripture says, death passed upon all men. In Adam all died. You hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. Men, as a result of Adam's fall, are wholly void of the life of God. We have physical life. There's mineral life in the plants. There's animal life in the dogs and the cats and the cows and the horses. There's physical life in all of Adam's sons. But there is a life that is higher and above physical life and mental life, as human life is above animal life or above plant life, and that's spiritual life. That's what Adam lost in the garden. Adam lost spiritual life. He went on living physically. He lived 700-800 years after he sinned. He went on living physically, but he died spiritually. And we are born dead in trespasses and sin. As the body without the soul is dead physically, so the sinner without Christ is dead spiritually. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It is when we were in this state that Christ came and gave us this life. It is when we were in this state of deadness, spiritual deadness, separation from God, no communion with God, no knowledge of God, no desire after God, living physically but dead spiritually, totally dead, that Christ came and brought spiritual life. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, or the word quickened is made alive. We're familiar with people who say the quick and the dead. That means on a battlefield, after a great battle, there's those who are living and those who are dead, the quick and the dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you see. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Christ is our spiritual life. Now the scripture is very emphatic on this point. It says in John 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, to be called the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Christ is the very essence of spiritual life. Without Christ, we're dead. When we're made alive, it's because Christ comes in. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Sometimes this blessing is called a release from the curse of the law. But that's in Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sometimes this blessing is called the remission or forgiveness of sin. But Christ said, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. It is called sometimes acceptance with God. But Paul said in Ephesians, we're accepted in Christ, in the Beloved. It is called sometimes a state of security or no condemnation. But the Scripture says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. No matter how you view the blessings of salvation, no matter how you view the blessings of eternal life, no matter how you view the blessings of God's redemption, they're always Christ. He's the source of them. He's the author of them. He's the strength of them. He's the life of them. Christ is our very spiritual existence. He's the life of our spiritual existence. If a man does not have Christ, he's dead. Void of spiritual life, empty of God, no union with God, no knowledge of God, no desire after God, without God. If a man has Christ, he has God. He has life. He lives spiritually. Christ is our life. Then secondly, now this is very important. Christ is the very life of our sanctification or our holiness. Now our death in sin is not only a legal separation from God, and some people get no further than that right there. They don't get beyond that. Our death in sin is a legal separation from God. We broke the law legally. We're separated from God. Legally, we are in prison. Legally, we are awaiting death because judgment has already been passed. We transgress the law, therefore there's a legal separation from God. But our death in sin is more than a legal separation from God. Because of our sin, we are truly and experimentally alienated from God. We love darkness experimentally, and we hate light experimentally. Legally, we are in darkness because of our transgression. Legally, we're in prison. But experimentally, we hate light, and we hate truth. Experimentally, we hate holiness. That's right. All men by nature hate holiness. They love sin. The natural mind is enmity against God. It hates God. The natural mind is motivated by principles foreign to God. We delight not in God's presence. We delight in the presence of evil. We find our greatest joy not in holiness and in purity. By nature, we find our greatest joy in rebellion, in the satisfaction of our flesh, in the satisfaction of our desires, in the satisfaction of our covetousness, in the satisfaction of our own selfish pursuits. That's where we find pleasure. That's the truth. Now, this must be rectified. There must be a restoration to purity. There must be a restoration to affections of holiness. There must be a restoration of the desire for God. There must be a restoration to purity of purpose. And for this, we're indebted to Christ alone. Christ is not only the very life of our spiritual existence, but let's face it. Let's be honest. Let's confess to the truth. If there's any holiness in us, it's Christ in us. If there's any panting after God, it is Christ in us. He is the life of our sanctification. His death is the cause of our sanctification. By His death, He paid the price that ransomed us, not from Satan, but from the law. His death was the price that was paid that ransomed us, not from the forces of hell, but from the justice of God which held us in captive. The Scripture says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. The price that was paid was the blood of the Son of God. His death ransomed us. It's the cause of our sanctification. The only reason that I'm in the narrow way is because Christ paid my debt. The only reason that I'm walking with God is because Christ paid my debt. The only reason that the Holy Spirit dwells within me is because Christ paid my debt. The only reason that I can be called a son of God is because Christ paid my debt. His death is the very cause of my sanctification. And then His Spirit is the agent in my sanctification or my holiness. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Holiness. He comes in to dwell. His Word is the instrument of my holiness or my sanctification. The Scripture says, of His own will begat He us through the Word of truth. I am clean, David said, by Thy Word. And His life is the pattern of my sanctification. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are sanctified in proportion as we possess and believe in and are motivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by our poring over our corruptions, not by our reminding ourselves of our evil, not by our contemplating our weaknesses and our inability, not by our deciding that we're going to do this or do that, but by our contemplating Christ and by our looking to Christ and by our pouring over the strength and ability of Christ and by our depending upon Christ to restore in us His divine image. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. That's my motivating principle. The love of Christ. He is the very life of our sanctification. Apart from Him, we're unholy, no matter how moral we are. Apart from Christ, we are unholy, no matter how charitable we are. Apart from Christ, we're unholy, no matter how strict we are. Apart from Christ, we're unholy, no matter how so-called honest we may try to be. Apart from Christ, viewed by the holy eye of God, we are unholy. But as God observes us in Christ, and as Christ is the motivating principle of our life, and as Christ Jesus is the indwelling Spirit in our hearts, in Christ, we're holy. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is our life. He's the cause of my life. He's the very life of my spiritual existence. In the eyes or presence of the Father, I don't live apart from Christ. I'm dead. Christ is my sanctification. I can take no glory, no praise for anything that I am or do or can do or ever shall be. It's Christ. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ is the very life of our Christian graces. Faith, hope, and love. These all proceed from Christ. These all have value only as they're connected with Christ and only as they bring us at every turn into contact with Christ. Faith. I hear people talk about faith. A whole lot said about faith. Keep the faith. Have faith and you have peace. Have faith and you'll have joy. Have faith and you'll have comfort. Have faith and you'll have assurance. Have faith and you'll have good works. All of these are the fruits of faith. Christ is the life of faith. Joy, comfort, peace, rest, assurance. These are all the fruits of faith. These grow out of faith. These are produced by faith. But Christ is the life of faith. Christ is the object of faith. Faith is a reception of a gift, and that gift is Christ. And where Christ lives, faith lives. And where Christ does not live, it's not real faith. Christ is the life of faith. Hope. If we have hope, it's because we have Christ. One of the old writers said, our anchor is within the veil. Only because Christ is within the veil. If Jesus Christ had not gone within the veil, any attempt to cast my anchor there would have been in vain. hope. I have hope. But I have hope because I have Christ. I have hope that when I die, the angels will bear me to the presence of God because Christ died for my sins. I have hope that when all men are gathered before God at the judgment, that I shall be with those on the right hand who hear the blessed Savior say, "Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." I have hope because Christ entered there as my mediator. I have hope that throughout the countless ages of eternity that I shall live in the presence of God Almighty and enjoy Him forever and be conformed to His image. Why do I have that hope? Because I've gone to church since I was a little boy. Because I've faithfully paid my tithes. Because I've tried to be honest in my dealings with others. Because I've tried to keep my life pure and clean. No. I have that hope because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was buried and rose again for my justification and is at God's right hand as my mediator. That's why I have that hope. Christ is the life of hope. And outside of Christ, there's no hope. Christ is the life of love. Why do people not love one another? They don't have Christ. If a man has Christ, he loves because Christ is love. Without Christ, there is no love. There can't be. Christ is love. God is love, the Scripture says. And where God is not, love is not. Only selfishness and greed. He brings love when He comes because He is love. He's the life of every Christian grace. The more Christ, the more faith. The more Christ, the more hope. The more Christ, the more love. An absence of Christ, why don't I have faith, preacher? You don't have Christ. If you have Christ, you have faith. Because Christ is bigger than anything you encounter. Christ is bigger than anybody you can encounter. David said, "The Lord is with me. Who can be against me? The Lord is my refuge and my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If you have Christ, He's all that matters, and everything else is insignificant. I lose my possessions, I still have Christ. He's my greatest possession. I lose my friends, I still have Christ. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I lose my family, I have Christ. Who is my family? I lose my life, my physical life, I have Christ. Who is my life? He that believeth on me shall never die. Where is your faith? It's not there because you don't have Christ. If you have Christ, you have faith. Christ is the life of faith. You can't have faith without Christ. It's an impossibility. You can't have hope without Christ. Why do people fear? Because they have no hope. Why do they have no hope? They have no Christ. They have no Redeemer. They have no King. A little boy walking down the street with his father, he doesn't fear. His father will take care of any problem he has, any problem he encounters. Your children don't worry about lunch today. They've got somebody that does the worrying for them. They don't worry about who's going to pay the electric bill and the gas bill and the water bill and the phone bill and the rent and the insurance and the car payment. They don't worry about those things. They never enter their mind. They have you. They have you, you see. They don't worry. And people who have Christ, all their spiritual needs are met by Him and in Him and through Him. They don't worry. My hope is Christ. He's the life of hope. He's the life of love. When Christ is there, love is there. He's the motivating principle of love. He's the cause of love. If Christ is there, you can't help but love. Love and forgiveness as a desire for food. It's a part of your makeup. It's a part of your spiritual makeup if Christ is there. If a man has life, if he has physical life, he's going to desire food. He's going to desire clothing. If a man has spiritual life, he's going to pant after and desire those things that have reference to spiritual life. And their fellowship with God, fellowship with His people, a revelation of His Word, communion with Him in prayer. If you don't have those things, it's because you don't have Christ. Because He, when He comes in, He brings all of those attributes with Him. I have a body that has to be fed. If I'm saved, I've got a spirit that has to have these things that refer to spiritual life. I have to have friendship. I have to have fellowship. I have to have communion. I have to have worship. I have to go to the house of God. Just as much as I have to go to the table. Christ is the life, fourth, of our Christian duties. Now watch this. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If he's in Christ, he's a new creature. It doesn't say if he's in Christ, he ought to be a new creature. It says he is. It doesn't say if he's in Christ, he will be a new creature. It says he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, it does not say that the preacher, if he preaches to him and uses the right psychology and goes about getting him to sign pledges and puts enough pressure on him, he can make a new creature out of him. If he's in Christ, he is a new creature. He is made a new creature by the indwelling Christ, not by the creed or the preacher or the church or the law, but by the very presence of his Lord. And he walks in newness of life. And this new life is manifested in his attitude and in his action. This is because Christ is in him. If he's in the church, if he's in the home, if he's in his office, if he's on the street, he's a new creature because Christ is in him. Forgiveness. The Scripture says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you." Christ is the life of forgiveness. Giving. When we give, more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Here's the motivating principle. Christ, who was rich, became poor for your sake. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God is a giving God. And those who have God in their hearts are giving people. Humility. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Missions. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall be my witnesses." Not you ought to be, you should be, you could be. It says you shall be. Worship, where two or three are met together in my name, Christ said. Prayer, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. There's no Christian work, there's no Christian duty that does not result or grow out of our union with Christ. He's the life of these things. And as these things will exist where He is, there's no way to produce them where He's not. That's true. Forgiveness, generosity, humility, compassion, witnessing, a burden for the lost, true worship, intercessory prayer, as these things must exist where Christ is, so these things cannot be produced where Christ is not. And if there's an absence of these things, it's because there's an absence of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Then in the fifth place, Christ is the very life of all Christian ordinances. What are Christian ordinances? Baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, the offering of praise and thanksgiving, preaching. These are Christian ordinances. And these ordinances would be wells without water, without Christ. If Christ is not there, these ordinances will be as dead and as lifeless as the old Jewish sacrifices without Christ. Wells without water. Baptism. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You take a man into the baptismal pool, And if he is not sincerely and earnestly showing forth the death, burial, and resurrection of his Lord, what is baptism? It's nothing. Without Christ, it has no meaning. What is the Lord's Supper? Children may as well break up crackers and get some grape juice and sit out in the backyard and play church. If Christ is not in these ordinances, if Christ is not the very meaning of them and the life of them, they're dead. When we take the bread, he said, "This is my body." This is symbolic of the broken body. This wine is my blood shed for you. What are prayers without Christ? Nothing but the superstitious mumbling of a heathen to his idol. Jesus Christ is the great high priest, having the golden censer, in which there is much incense to offer before the throne. And our prayers are through him. What is our praise without Christ? Rejected. What are our offerings of thanksgiving without Christ? Rejected. Just like Cain's offering was rejected. If the blood is not there, the life is not there. What is preaching without Christ? It's not good news. If the person and work of Christ is not the theme, turn to 2 Corinthians 4 just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is preaching without Christ? It's nothing. The very heart of the message is Christ. The essence of the gospel is Christ. The object of the preacher is to bring men to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Brethren, if we preach the law, it's to show you your need of Christ. It's to show you how that Christ fulfilled it in your stead. If we preach the justice and holiness of God, it is to show you your need of Christ, who is our holiness, who met God's justice and satisfied it. If we preach the joys of heaven, it's to encourage you to receive Christ that you might live with him eternally. If we preach the terrors of hell, it is to warn you to flee to Christ. If we preach faith, Christ is the object of faith. Our preaching is Christ. The life of our preaching is Christ. I hear preachers preach in different times on the radio and television. And they preach prophecy. And they preach the strange and perplexing questions. And they preach Old Testament history. And they preach events that took place in the past. And they preach their denominations and ordinances. And they preach morality and the law. But they don't preach Christ. They don't preach Christ. Without Christ, preaching is nothing more than a political talk. Without Christ, preaching is no more than a moral essay. Without Christ, preaching has no life. He is the life of preaching. And then last of all, Christ is the very life of glory. We believe that we shall be raised from the grave. You believe that? I believe that. But my friends, who's going to raise us from the grave? It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." He's going to do it. And then his appearance, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. His appearance shall be the signal for our resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise." When he comes, he's the life of the resurrection. And then he is the Lord of heaven, and he shall be the object of worship and praise, and he shall be our glory in heaven. To the thief on the cross, he said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." to the disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be. The Apostle Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. For me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What think ye of Christ? Stephen, when he was stoned and his spirit was leaving his body, he cried, his last words were, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It was not, O ye host of glory, I'm coming to join you. It's not mother and father, I'll meet you over there. It's not, O church of the living God, O triumphant believers. It is not, O crusaders for Christ. It is, Lord Jesus, coming to you. You see what I'm saying? Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is the life of our spiritual existence. I don't even exist apart from Him. Apart from Christ, I'm dead on the dunghill of human depravity. I'm made alive by Christ. I'm quickened with Christ. I'm seated on the right hand of God with Christ. Christ is the life of my sanctification. If I love anybody, it's because Christ is in me. If I have any charity, if I have any righteousness, if I have any holiness, if I have any Christian grace, if I have any motivating principle apart from my own selfish desires, it's Christ and not me. It's the life of God in my soul that's put there by the new birth. Christ is the very life of every Christian duty. And Christ is the life of every Christian ordinance. And Christ is the life of glory. Listen to this. Too much to Christ I cannot give. Too much I cannot get from Thee. Let all Thy love, O Lord, and all Thy grace, and all Thy presence graven on my heart forever be. What think ye of Christ? Well, preacher, Christ is my life. He's my life. Everything else is insignificant. Everything else is just something added. Everything else is just a duty to be performed. Everything else is marking time and treading water, because everything else shall pass away. You can't name me one thing today, not one thing, that shall not pass away, that you possess, that you have, and that you are. Name something. Everything. Except one thing. And that's Christ. Our Father in heaven, where Christ lives, may He live more triumphantly. Where Christ reigns, may He reign more powerfully. Where Christ sits, may He sit more victoriously. And where Christ does not live, we pray, O God, that it may please Thee, by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, to bring in the life of Christ. Grant, O Lord, that none in this congregation may go a day's journey as Joseph and Mary, and then discover that Christ is not there, that they have assumed that He's there, but He's not there. Grant, O Lord, that we should examine ourselves whether we be in Christ. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ be in you, except you be reprobates? We want Christ to live within. We want all the attributes of our Lord to be manifested within us. We want to depend upon Him and trust in Him and look to Him and live by His grace and His love. For His glory we pray. Amen.